So you may have thought that you came to church this morning. Well, let me remind you that the church is not this building. The church is you. You are the church. This is a place of God's love. It's a place of hope. It's a place of forgiveness. So I invite you to come in out of the cruel, cold world. And I invite you to blow off the dust of religion and enter into a time of true worship, opening your hearts to receive what God has for each one of us here today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would be active and working in our lives today. As we come and drink in the living water, that Jesus said, if we drink of that water, we will never be thirsty again. So join me in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather as your body of believers here at Bowmansville to worship you, the one true and living God. As we enter into a time of worshiping in song, I pray you would open our mouths to express our love for you today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's offering for the schools that we donate to, we're just going to take a moment to pray for those schools because, and my daughter does go to not one of these three, but to Lidditz Area Mennonite School. And I always appreciate that as she is learning as she's growing older and learning things about the world and starting to become to understand things, I am appreciative of the schools that have a faith-based learning approach to the education. Because as she just turned 7, I am really noticing at home that she is starting to comprehend who God is and how he interacts in the life. So it's, to me especially, it is important to have schools that can incorporate the Bible and faith, Bible memory verses and that in that. So as we lift up our offering here, will you join me in prayer for the schools that do and the teachers that work in these environments? Heavenly Father, we just lift this offering to you to give just a portion of our tithe back. And as we give it to the schools here, to Gaiman's and Hinkletown and Lancaster Mennonite, we just pray for those schools and the teachers involved as they teach the children there. And also pray for any of the schools that are faith-based that can be teaching how God is interacting in this world as well as giving education to the children. So just bless the people that are all involved as teachers and all the people involved as principals and working in the school, that you would just bless them and keep them focused on you as they give teaching to the children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Shine, Jesus, shine. Father God, thank you so much for today and for the light that is shining outside. And Lord, we pray that your light would continue to shine in here, Lord, that our lives would mirror here, our lives would tell your story, just like we sang about. So I pray that you would be near Larry as he shares the message this morning, and that you would open our hearts to hear the words that he has to share from you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Well, greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus. That name above all names, that strong and powerful name, Jesus Christ. Just want to thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message today. I certainly do appreciate your intercession on my behalf in preparation for sharing the message. I'd just like to call your attention to a note in the bulletin about the lightning strike that we did have here at the church that was very close, which did do quite a bit of damage to a number of things, and we may still be figuring that out. But that did affect our ability to record the morning messages, so there's several messages that may be missing online that you will not be able to access. So I just want you to understand that. That's the reason for that. It's not that we don't want you to listen to them. It's that we didn't have the ability to record because of the lightning strike. And I just want to thank Bob Ristler for the hours and hours and hours that he spent here at the church trying to figure things out. And also, I think Doug spent some time here as well, and a number of people spend a lot of time trying to figure out exactly what's going on and how to get things repaired. So we're still working at that, so please, please bear with us. Well, this morning, before I get into the message, I would like to invite Mel Weaver to come forward. God is doing an amazing work in Mel's life, and Mel has asked if he could come share what God is doing in his life with you this morning. So I'm gonna turn it over to Mel to share a few words about what God is doing in his life and how God is, truly an amazing God. So Mel, would you share with us what God is doing in your life?
I'll be reading from Psalm 116. Psalm 116, the first 9 verses. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. This psalm describes most of my life. In hindsight, I perceive that I had set myself up to be ensnared by the father of lies. By first of all, trying to do something that's not biblical, neither does it work. Namely, receive Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. Second, when the leadership team would ask whether I had peace with God in preparation for communion, I lied, knowing that the honest answer would have been no. And doing that multiple times since age 15, when I became a member here. In spite of me trying to come to Jesus my way for decades, God in his great patience and mercy kept drawing me to himself, his way. Various tools and events played a role in that. Several weeks ago, On Sunday, August 19th, God answered the cry of my heart for a breakthrough. As he dealt with my pride, I was free to respond to the altar call, where I took the first step in publicly confessing my hypocrisy. God obviously saw sincerity in my heart because I promptly sensed something happening that never did before. With a growing awareness of the Holy Spirit's presence within me, I was for the first time able to verbalize that with confidence. With peace in my heart, but my mind in turmoil, I signed up for a seminar called The Journey to Freedom, which took place towards the end of that same week. After the teaching time, we broke into small groups, where I had the opportunity to share and listen to what God was telling my heart. As the brothers in my group laid hands on me and prayed, truth was spoken into my heart, and the lies of the father of lies were dismissed. Having gained peace in my heart earlier in the week, and peace of mind later of the same week, with a sense of awe and gratitude, I fell on my knees that night asking Jesus, how do I respond to this? Instantaneously, a picture of Jesus flashed in front of me as I felt his loving arms around me as he said, it's okay. Just worship me and serve me. It's no secret that I don't have a speaker's voice by a long shot. So if anyone would like a copy of it, of my script, feel free to ask. Thanks to you as my church family for being a safe place to share. Thanks most of all to the Holy Spirit's promptings and for giving me the desire and the enabling to stand before you.
So thank you very much, Mel, for sharing. I am proud of you to be able to stand here in front of the congregation and give voice to what God is doing in your life. It truly is amazing. Mel has shared with me several reasons why he wanted to do this. First of all, I believe, he believes, I think we all believe, that because Mel has been willing to do this, God will increase the healing in his heart. Secondly, so that his past actions and attitudes are not a stumbling block to what God may yet want to do within this congregation and within each one of our lives. Thirdly, so that you would take seriously those questions that are on the council forms that were placed in your church mailbox last Sunday. Fourthly, so that no one else would get caught up in the same trap of lies that Mel did. And last but not least, to ask you as a congregation for your forgiveness for him, for lying over the years in response to the questions on the council forms. So I ask you as a congregation, how do you respond to Mel's request for forgiveness? If you can forgive him from the depths of your heart, I would like you to signify that by standing and signifying that you're willing to forgive Mel. Mel, I want you to take a look at the congregation. They're standing, symbolizing their offering forgiveness to you. So receive that forgiveness. Not just receive it, but walk in it. And overcome those lies of Satan. So I'm going to bow with Mel I'm going to kneel for a word of prayer. And I would encourage you as a congregation, if you're able, to kneel as well. And we're going to have a little time of prayer this morning. Almighty God, I come before you today thanking you for the work that you're doing in our brother Mel's life. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would pour out your healing in abundance upon his heart and his life today in the name of Jesus Christ, that he could experience that healing in a very real and a very powerful way today. I ask for your blessing upon Mel. I thank you for his humility. I thank you for his willingness to stand before the congregation today and to share the testimony of what you are doing in his life. And I just pray you would increase that work. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you, Lord God, would receive honor and glory and praise for Mel's willingness to step out of his comfort zone and to acknowledge that you are the one true and living God. So we thank you and praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. God bless you, Mel. Bless you. Thank you. Continuing our series of messages on the minor prophets, and specifically looking at the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah 1:1 informs us that the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah during the reign of Josiah, who was the king of Judah at that particular time. And as you think about the list of kings who served, it's rare to find one who obeyed God. And in 2 Kings 22 and 23, we find the account of Josiah. And in 2 Kings 23, 25, we read this. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. During the reign of Josiah, the book of the law was discovered in the temple, and after reading it, he, Josiah, began a great revival in Judah. The prophet Zephaniah helped to fan that flame of revival by warning the people that judgment would come if they did not turn from their sins. Although this revival turned the nation of Judah back to God, it did not fully eliminate idolatry and lasted only a short time. 12 years after Josiah's death, Judah was invaded by Babylon, and a number of people were sent into exile. In my Bible, there are two main headings in Zephaniah. One is the day of wrath, beginning in chapter 1, and then the day of hope, midway through chapter 3. So in chapter 1, we hear the word of the Lord that was given to Zephaniah. Zephaniah 1, verses 2 and 3, I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. The wicked will only have heaps of rubble when I cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Now, one of the commentaries that I read on Zephaniah said, the writer of that commentary said, there is no hotter book in all of the Old Testament. I believe he said that because the description of the judgment that Zephaniah uses is all-consuming. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, both men and animals, declares the Lord. And then in verses 4 through 6, Zephaniah specifically mentions Judah and all who live in Jerusalem. And in verse 5b, the Lord is saying that he will cut off those who bow down and swear by the Lord and who are also swear by Molech. The people had become polytheistic, which means they worship God and some of the other gods of the land. One of those other gods was Molech. Molech was the national god of the Ammonites, and worshiping Molech included child sacrifice, an abomination to God. From the time of Moses, the Israelites had been warned about worshiping this false god. Leviticus 18:21 says, "Do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." And the first of the Ten Commandments given to us from God clearly tells us that God wants to be number one in our lives. "You shall have no other gods before me," Exodus 20, verse 3. The people of Judah, just like us here today, knew this commandment, yet they continued to rely on and to worship other gods. I can't help but wonder how God looks at my life. Because so often, I seem to allow other gods to slither into my life, and I give them way too much power and attention. We must guard our hearts against giving the gods of this age our attention, our devotion, our worship. So I asked, who or what do you devote your time, your energy? Who or what do you allow to be your God? Do you truly worship the one true and living God? Or has something else crept into your life that is consuming your time, your energy, and your devotion? Then in verse 12, Zephaniah says, "At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left in its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, neither good or bad." The word of the Lord that Zephaniah received included God searching the city of Jerusalem with lamps and punishing those who deserved punishment because they did not search their own hearts and because they were content with the moral chaos around them, and because they were indifferent towards God, and because the great day of the Lord is near and drawing quickly. God was going to use the Babylonians to judge the people of Judah, and within 20 years, the Babylonians would enter Jerusalem, drag the people out of hiding, and take them captive or destroy them. So listen very carefully. In a few short weeks, we'll be sharing around the communion table. Sharing in remembering what Jesus did for us by taking the bread, a symbol of Jesus' broken body, and the cup, a symbol of Jesus' shed blood. The scriptures very clearly teach us in 1 Corinthians 11:28 and 29, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And 2 Corinthians 13:5 also says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. I suspect that what our brother Mel Weaver shared with us this morning may also be true of some of us sitting here. Mel confessed that there's been times in the past where he has answered the question on his counsel form or whether he has peace with God in the affirmative, even though he knew deep down in his heart of hearts that that was a blatant lie. May each one of us follow Mel's example and honestly examine our hearts to see whether we really do have peace with God. Because the great day of the Lord is near. Near and coming quickly for all of us here today. The word of God clearly teaches us that there is a day coming, a day of judgment, a day of worldwide destruction. Revelation 20, 12 to 15. I'd like to read those verses. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what had been done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Anyone whose name is not found in the book of life, the scriptures say, will be thrown into the lake of fire. Let me be a little clearer. Will be thrown into hell. And yes, there is a real place called hell. The Babylonian conquest of Judah and the surrounding nations occurred just as sure and was just as horrible as Zephaniah had prophesied. And the words we read in Revelation about the second coming of Jesus Christ and the final judgment of all mankind is also sure to occur. But as the heading in my Bible says, there is a day of hope. Because just as sure as God's final day of judgment will occur, God also has the ability to save. Zephaniah 2, verses 1 and 3. Gather together, O shameful nation, before the appointed time arrives and that day sweeps on like chaff. Before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you'll be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. Zephaniah's prophecy, like other Old Testament prophets, included a call to repent and turn from their sins, a call to humble themselves and obey God, a call to seek the Lord. The only means of escaping the wrath of God was and still is to repent and turn from sin and walk in obedience to God. Walk in that forgiveness that he extends. All the prophets, even while prophesying doom and destruction, speak also of a remnant in chapter 2, verse 7. A small group of God's people who remained faithful to him and whom God will restore to the land. Although God said he would destroy Judah, he also promised to save a remnant. In this way, he was keeping his original covenant to preserve Abraham's descendants. Because God is holy, he cannot allow sin to continue. But God is also faithful to his promises that he has made in the scriptures. In chapter 3, God's salvation and deliverance is declared for those who are faithful to him. But before Zephaniah does that, he returns to the promise at hand, or the problem at hand, in the beginning of chapter 3. After prophesying against Judah and the surrounding nations, the problem at hand is sin in Jerusalem, the city of God, and sin in God's people as well. God's people have become defiled just like their pagan nations. And then in chapter 3, verse 2, she, Jerusalem, obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. Do you know anyone who refuses to listen when someone disagrees with their opinions? The root problem is pride. Proverbs 8:13 tells us that God hates pride. Mel talked about overcoming his pride and responding to the altar call on August the 19th. And I can't help but wonder how many people didn't respond on August the 19th because of their pride. Here in Zephaniah, God's people had become so proud that they would not hear or accept God's correction. So I ask you this morning, do you find it difficult to listen, to hear, to accept spiritual counsel from God's word? When you read the word of God, do you find yourself thinking, boy, I sure hope so-and-so reads this because they sure need to hear this. I have to admit, there's some times when I read the Word of God and that thought does cross my mind and I ask God to forgive me because I don't believe that's the attitude I should have. Because when we judge other people, we're taking God's place. He's the judge. So when we allow pride in our lives, I believe it's an abomination to God. Because pride comes from the pit of hell. Pride will make you unwilling and unable to allow God to work in your life. The scripture warns us about quenching the Holy Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. So again, listen very closely. When we open ourselves up to God's searchlight, the Holy Spirit, when we do that, we will understand how weak and how sinful we all are. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. And there is a day coming when God will deal with the pride in our hearts. He will do that one way or another. So let me close this morning by reading Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 9 to 20. Then will I purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshipers, my scattered people, will bring me offerings. On that day, you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from this city those who rejoice in their pride. Never again will you be haughty on my holy hill. But I will leave within you the meek and humble who trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will speak no lies, nor will deceit be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows of the appointed feast I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. The message of doom in the beginning of the book of Zephaniah becomes a message of hope by the end. There will be a new day. As the title of this message says, through judgment to blessing. Hear the message of hope today. Because one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We look forward to that day with hope. So hang on to that hope. Would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for that message of hope that you bring to us. And I just pray this morning, as we think about the words of Scripture that you've given to us, that you would continue your transforming work in our lives. And again, I thank you for Mel's willingness to share, and again ask for your abundant blessing in his life, and I pray that you would continue your work here among us at Bowmansville, and I just pray that your Spirit would prompt each one of us to examine our hearts in preparation for sharing around the communion table in several weeks. So I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would have your way, that you would help us to be willing and allow you to work in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're going to sing about hope this morning. And I would like you to stand and sing like you believe what you're singing this morning. Thank you for your kind attention this morning. And as you go, remember that we have hope. That hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So carry that with you throughout this week. Would you receive this benediction from Ephesians 3:16? May God strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. God bless you. Go in peace. Have an awesome week.